Brother Bill Wally come to me this morning and he said, well, what's your sermon topic for tonight? And I told him, the sermon topic for the night is pull the weeds and water the flowers. And he gave me the funniest look. He says, how are you going to preach on that? Well, actually, it is a statement that was made by Abraham Lincoln. He said, die when I may. Let it be said that I always pulled up a weed and planted a flower where I thought a flower would grow. And I thought, you know, that is a wonderful outlook on life, isn't it? That we want to remove weeds from our lives and we want to plant things and have things around us that are beautiful, that we can enjoy. And you know, when God put man on earth, he put him in a very beautiful place, a place for him to enjoy with all of the beauties and comforts that man could have. And of course, sin has ruined all of that for us. And that's why we have to deal with sin today. But it's a wonderful thought to know that we can have beautiful things around us. And I think that was the sentiment that Abraham Lincoln was trying to make, is that we need to be sure that we live beautiful lives and that we can have beautiful things around us. I think Jesus said it similar in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, which was part of the great Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. And he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are sons of God. A peacemaker is one who wants beautiful things around him. A peacemaker is one who does not want to deal with the weeds of life, does not want to struggle in the weeds of life, but rather they are looking for peace, for things that will make life better. A peacemaker is one who tries to make life better. A peacemaker is one who tries to help things grow and not to tear down things and to take away the value of things in life. So tonight I want to talk for just a few minutes about the peacemaker. I would like to think that everyone in this room are peacemakers, that we go through life looking for ways to make life better, not only for ourselves, but for each other as well. The first thing I want to talk about is that the peacemaker must first of all make peace with God. You know, before we can help others find peace, we have to find peace ourselves. And the only way that we will ever find peace in life is to have peace with God. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. You see, true peace comes from God. God gives us peace. You know, Jesus said, I've come that you may have peace. And he means for us to have peace within ourselves. And I have to tell you, as we go through life and as we look for peace, and I think everyone in here wants to live peaceful lives. But let me tell you, you can't look everywhere and find this peace. You know, people today look for all over the place looking for peace. And, you know, I'll tell you, you'll never find it in a bottle. You'll never find it in a needle. You'll never find it, you can't purchase it at the market, and you certainly can't find it sitting on the psychiatrist's table. You know, false teachers promise peace, but it is something that they can't give you. Only God can give you true peace. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, they have also healed the hurt of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the reason there was no peace in Jeremiah's day was because they was looking for it in the wrong place. Peace can only be found in God. You know, I appreciated so much, and we all appreciate so much the writings of the Apostle Paul, because in every book that he has penned, he begins by making reference to the fact that people come to God looking for their issues in life. And sometimes he will end a book by saying the same thing. The fact is, we can't be peaceful and show other people peace unless we have it ourselves. I think Jesus was alluding to this in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? In other words, we go around trying to help other people get rid of their problems, don't we? or we try to find problems in other people, but we never turn around and look in the mirror. We've got to find it for ourselves before we can help other people find it for themselves. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? Or how do you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, there is a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, you can look at that from the standpoint is I've got to get myself right before I can help get someone else right. You know, we are to be a light that shines throughout the world for the world to see Christ living in us. But if we don't have Christ living in us, our light is not going to shine for other people, or at least it's going to give an impression that other people don't need to see in, as they live their lives from day to day. So we've got to fix ourselves before we can help fix other people. We've got to correct our own lives. We've got to be sure that our lives is in harmony with God before we can help other people achieve the very same thing. So we have to have peace with God ourselves before we can help other people find it. Number two, a peacemaker will lead others to peace with God. Our purpose as a church is to preach the peace of Jesus Christ. You know, and we must do so in a way that will be appealing to people. You know, there are so many people that try to bring Christianity to the world through harshness and through condemnation. That's not how you preach Jesus. You know, you go back and you look at the life of Christ. Was Christ harsh with people? Well, yes, he was. Was he condemning with people? Well, yes, he was. But he was harsh and condemning with people who were condemning him and what he was trying to teach us through God's word. When he came upon someone who did not understand God and the concept of God, he came to them with love and compassion, not condemnation. You know, Peter spoke of the things that Jesus did in Acts chapter 10 as he was speaking to Cornelius and his household. And he said, the word which God sent to his children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And that word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, that beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And from the day of Pentecost on, the apostles preached a ministry of reconciliation. The idea of bringing themselves back to God, coming back to the Father, and that reconciliation was nothing more than peacemaking. And they didn't do it by trying to condemn and with harshness of voice and action to bring people to Christianity. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says it like this. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, who has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. They did it with love. They did it with understanding. They did it with compassion. They were peacemakers. They wasn't troublemakers. You know, we so many people today in the church, we like to go up to people and we say, well, if you don't do it my way, that's it. We can't be that way with people. We have to use the love that God gave us, because everything that God has done for us, he has done out of love. The peacemaker is part of the solution and not part of the problem. And this goes back to the thought of reconciliation. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells his listeners in verses 23 and 24, therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You need to make some reconciliation, really, before God is going to accept what you have for him. And the Apostle Paul chimes in Romans 12, verse 18. He tells us, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You see, the peacemaker does not needlessly offend other people. The Christian does not needlessly offend other people. And you know, sometimes I worry, I don't think this is something that our brothers and sisters will ever learn. You see, there are so many people that they feel that the only way to reach people with Christianity is to send them to hell. And we tell them, oh, if you don't do it like this, and if you don't do it my way, you're going straight to hell. And I've heard people say that to other people. I'm going to tell you, friends, if someone tells that to me, I'm going to walk away from them as fast as I possibly can. I don't want to hear another word out of their mouth, because they have offended me. It is offensive language, and it does not work. Being harsh and condemning is the only way some people know. And it does not work. Listen to what Paul said. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. There has to be some love there. We are representing the greatest love that is possible, and that is the love of God. The love of God to us and the love of God to the world. And you don't do that through harshness. And you don't do that with condemnation. You have to let your speech be with grace. You have to show love. Here's another thing that's hard for the peacemaker. And that is to be slow to speak. You know, peace doesn't come automatically. It is something that we have to work on. And once we have it, we have to continue to work on it so that we can keep it. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not, listen to this, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, he ended that sentence right there. That means there's nothing else to follow, period. You see, the righteousness of God is not produced by wrath. And we need to understand that. Peace only comes by pursuing after it. This is what Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now, the peacemaker, he detests and he abhors all strife, contentiousness, and dissensions. We don't want any of these things. And if a congregation is going to have peace, all of these troublesome things have got to be put away. And they have to be replaced with things that are good and things that are worthwhile. That's what the peacemaker does. And then a peacemaker has a compassionate view of other people. You know, we see people sometimes and they'll act out of the way and they'll act difficult and be harsh to deal with and whatnot. And usually we'll say, well, I wonder why he's that way. And instead, maybe we need to say something like, well, that poor fellow, he's under the influence of Satan. And we need to have sympathy for him. And we need to help him. Have you ever had something in your life that maybe it's sort of like Paul's thorn in the flesh, which he never got rid of? But have you ever had a problem in life that it just lingered and it bothered you day in and day out, and then in one day you wake up and it's gone? And you go, oh my, this doesn't bother me anymore. I am free of it. This doesn't have an effect on me anymore. It is a wonderful feeling to know that I am free of this. You know, that's how we're going to be when we stand before God in judgment, the faithful. You see, we have something on us right now, even us in this room, and it's called sin, and we can't get away from it. And it bothers us, it pounds on us, it damages us every day of our lives. And one day, we're going to wake up before God, and all of that is going to be lifted away. Can you imagine that feeling? And we won't know, how could this have possibly affected me the way it did? How could it have possibly made me do these things that are contrary to God? And now it's all gone. It doesn't bother me anymore. Isn't that going to be a wonderful feeling? That's the kind of view we need to have with the world, who is also under the influence of Satan. We need to help them. We need to help bring them out of it. I mean, when someone does or says something evil, do you know why he did it? Satan is the reason he did it. Satan is the reason he made that mistake. Satan is the reason that you make mistakes. Satan is the reason that I make mistakes. We all sin. We do all these things ourselves. And it needs to be wiped away. And God has said, I can wipe it away. And I'll do it through my Son. So we should understand their plight when we see people go out and do these things, because we've been there. Listen to Paul in Galatians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. We all know that, don't we? But did you know this? Verse 11, here's the slap in the face. And such were some of you. You have been in these shoes. You have done these things. You have approved of these things. But you have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's gone. God can take it away. So we should be able to understand the plight of people who are in sin and can't get out in their situation. It's like, you know, the peacemaker is the beggar who has been fed, and now he heads up the soup line to feed others who are hungry. During the days of Jesus and the days of the early church, the Pharisees were a perfect example of what peacemakers were not. They were smug, they were proud, they were complacent, and they were determined to have their own way. They had no interest whatsoever in making peace with Samaritans. They had no interest whatsoever in making peace with Rome. They had no interest whatsoever in making peace with their fellow Jews who didn't see things the way they saw them. They were so much better. And they will tell you they were so much better. And they had no compassion. I don't think they had compassion among themselves. And I'm afraid, my friends, that yes, we have people like that in the church today. And they're not peacemakers. You can't be a peacemaker with this kind of attitude. And then finally, a peacemaker is a bridge builder. You ever been driving down the road and you see a sign that says bridge out? What do when you see that sign? You stop. Because that thing which is designed to take you from this side to the other side is not there. And you can't get to the other side. You see, a bridge is an object that connects two opposing sides. And it has got to be in place, or you're going to collapse. Once the bridge is built, it has to have support from both sides. If one side of that bridge loses its support, the bridge is out. It's just that simple. You see, we need to keep in mind that we very well could be a spiritual bridge in the lives of some people. But if we do not attach to both sides, we could call someone their soul. And if we don't attach ourselves to God, then we can collapse and lose our souls. So you see, we've got to think about being a bridge and keeping ourselves in touch with one another in a peaceful way. You know, we can contend with one another without being contentious. We can disagree with one another without being disagreeable. And we can confront one another about things that we disagree on without being abusive. But what's the first thing we look to do? We look just to blow up when people don't see it the way we see it. When people want to do something different. And by the way, you know there are more than one way to do one thing? Y'all do know that, don't you? Sometimes you can do the same thing, get the same results by going a different route. But so many people believe it. Boy, if it's not my way, that's contentious. Paul said, being contentious is not a part of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16, but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. It's not part of us. Jesus did not come to this earth to build contention. He did not come to teach us how to oppose people and how to work against people. He came for the purpose of bringing us together. So that's why we have to be a bridge, so that we can get away from contentious thoughts. In other words, be a peacemaker. You know, God's most effective peacemakers are often the simplest of people. And they're also the people who go least noticed. And I think God planned it that way. You know, they seldom win headlines in the newspapers, or they very seldom win prizes for the things that they do. But what they do, they bridge the gap. They bring people together. And those who repair problems very seldom get their names called out when the battle is over. But the battle is won. Peacemakers may have a thankless task, but God knows, and God rewards. So I guess my question tonight to you is, as you walk your Christian life, are you a peacemaker? Are you doing the things that will bridge that gap, or are you doing things that will widen that gap? We must be sure that we live in such a way that we bring peace to this earth and not destruction. This is what God expects of you as a Christian. This is what God expects of us as a church. So my friend, if you are a Christian and your Christian walk is not bringing peace for yourself or for those around you, you need to think again about what your purpose here is in this life. It is to bring peace, just as Jesus came to bring peace. If you're not a Christian tonight, my friend, your life is in turmoil. You have no peace. And the only way that you can ever have peace is to come to Jesus Christ, to give your life to Him. God can give you peace, a peace that passes all understanding. It can be so great that you can't have a clue what it really means. But it's there, and it's yours, if you're willing to accept it. So tonight, I pray that we are all peacemakers. And if you need help with this, we will help you with it. God will help you with it. If you need to respond, please come while we stand and sing.